Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We got to keep our minds in the right place. That's what we've been talking about here for the last couple weeks. We've been talking about this battlefield of the mind. And really, that's where the warfare is between us and the devil. The devil, even though he's been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, he will still try to defeat you by giving you self-destructive thoughts. He'll try to get you to defeat yourself by thinking on the wrong things. But if he can't get your thinking wrong, then he can't get you to go wrong. You will not go wrong if you don't think wrong. You only go wrong because you first thought wrong. So if we can just get our thought life in the right place and train it to stay in the right place, develop those powers of concentration, keep our mind on the right things, keep our mind set on the right things, then we will do the right things in life, and things will turn out right for us. No matter what kind of trial we go through, things will turn out right. But we got to get our mind to always be thinking right. Can we always think right? Well, I look at it this way. If you can think right for 10 minutes, how many people believe they can think right for 10 minutes? If you can think right for 10 minutes, then you can probably think right for 20 minutes. And if you can think right for 20 minutes, you could probably think right for 40. And if you can think right for 40 minutes, you can probably think right for 80 minutes. And if you can think right for 80 minutes, you can probably think right for 2 hours. And if you can think right for 2 hours, you can probably think right for 3 hours. And if you can think right for 24 hours. And if you can think right, probably 2 days. You could probably think right for 10 people. Well, if you can do 2 days, then you can do a week. You can think right for a week. Well, if you can think right for a week, you could probably do a month. Well, if you can think right for a month, you can probably do 12 of them. And think right for the whole year. You can think right. And we're not on our own. We've got the helper. We've got the Holy Spirit with us to help us think right. And God has given us his word. So we got the word and the Holy Spirit to help us think right. How we think will determine how we live. That's why it's so important to renew our minds to the word of God. Because how we think will determine how we live. I want to live the God kind of life. So how are you going to live the God kind of life? You got to renew your mind to God's word. God's words are weapons that enable you to pull and cast down every ungodly thought. When you load your mind up with God's word, you can cast down, pull down every ungodly thought that tries to come at your mind. Satan's main focus is to corrupt your mind. These are things we've already covered. I'm just doing a quick review. Satan's main focus, it's not your relationships, it's not your health, it's not your finances, it's your mind. It's your mind. He wants to corrupt your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 in the Contemporary English Version says, "Let the Spirit change your way of thinking." Let him do it. I'm going to let him do it. And I like how it says that. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking. Otherwise, you have to beg him and try to get him to do it. You just got to get out of the way and let him do it. It's something he already wants to do. It's just got to let him do it. Just let the Spirit of God move in your life and do it. People live according to the flesh because they set their minds on the things of the flesh. We saw that over in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. I'm going to read it again. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh," Romans 8, 5. "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." Why do they live according to the flesh? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. See? "But those who live according to the Spirit," the things of the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. So what's the big difference between a person that lives in the flesh and a person that lives in the Spirit? What makes the difference? How they think. The one that is going to live in the Spirit is the one who thinks about the Spirit. The one who lives in the flesh is the one who thinks about the things, that sets his mind on the things of the flesh. If we don't control the setting of our mind, the world, the flesh, and the devil will. We've got to take control. If you don't set your settings, where you're going to set your mind, and just let your mind drift, the devil will do the settings for you, and it's going to take you in the wrong direction. The devil is a devil because he's not mindful of the things of God. How the devil thinks is what makes him a devil. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, when Peter yielded to the devil, he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." In other words, he's mindful of the things of the flesh, even though he doesn't have any. That's why he wants yours. But that's why the devil's the devil. It's because of the way he thinks. He's not mindful of the things of God. And guess what? If people aren't mindful of the things of God, they're going to be a devil. They're going to act like the devil. We are to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. With all our mind. We're to love him with our mind. That's what the Bible says. Don't just love him with your heart. Love him with your soul, your emotions, your inner feelings. And love him with your mind, with your thought life. We talked about how over there in Malachi that the Lord records the meditation of those who fear him. Those who sit down and talk about him and think on him. Meditate, to think. To meditate is to think on. So to think on him, he writes it down. He records. Whatever you're just thinking on him, he records it. Well, that should be all the time. I said that should be all the time. Revelations chapter 2, very powerful scripture as we move into some fresh things tonight. Revelation chapter 2, and in verse 23, Jesus said, "And I will kill her children with death," talking about bringing judgment on some woman in the church that was seducing God's people. He said, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I'll give to each one of you according to your works." This is him speaking to the churches, to his people, to the children of God. And he says, he searches the minds and the hearts. God knows what's going on in our minds. So we have to watch what's going on in our mind. We want our thoughts, our meditation, to be pleasing to him all the time. Our thoughts need to be pleasing to him because God, he's watching our thoughts. And again, he says he'll give to each one according to their works because their works are a product of their mind, what they think on. So if we think on the right things, once again, we're going to do the right things. Now tonight, I want to look at the various settings that are available for your mind to be set on. First, let's go over here to Colossians chapter 3. There's a lot of settings that we need to set our mind on. Again, I use that illustration about the air conditioning, right? You know, what temperature, what kind of atmosphere do we want in here? What do we want the temperature to be? We want it warmer? Do we want it colder? What do? Well, we go over to the thermostat and we set it to what we want. You know, sometimes I come into this sanctuary and it's really hot. And you wouldn't want to be in here for 5 minutes. But then I go over to the thermostats and I hit the settings and I walk away. Just walk out of the room. I don't come in here and bring a bunch of ice cubes in and swing doors and try to get a cool breeze going. I don't do a lot of work. I just hit the settings and I leave the room. And then when I come back, the room's at a nice, cool temperature. Very comfortable. And all I did was just hit the settings on the thermostat. Well, that's how our mind is. Our mind is like a thermostat. And we need to program in the settings. Get the right settings. If you're a hothead, cool it down. You're feeling pressure. You're feeling a little fired up with anger and jealousy and bitterness and resentment and all these things, well, just go over there, get the settings fixed up, pay no attention to it, and it'll all just come down. Everything will just come down. Praise God. If it's a little cold, you feel a little indifferent, you don't care about anybody else but yourself, don't even really know if you care about yourself anymore. Just cold, frozen, numb, just numb, comfortably but uncomfortably numb. Just just feeling cold. Well, thank God you can go over and hit the settings of your mind and warm things up. If you get the settings right, the atmosphere will change in your life. The conditions will change in your life. Your behavior will change in life. It's that easy. Now let's learn about the settings. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, or I could say manifests, then you also appear with him in glory. How many want the glory of God upon your life? I want God's manifested awesomeness on my life. Well, how does it happen? Verse 2, set your mind. Set your mind. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on that glory. See, I want that glory. I want that glory. Well, you got to set your mind on that glory. Go ahead and get in the Word. Learn about the glory of God. Learn about all the things that are available to you. Learn about the awesomeness of the Almighty and how God manifests himself. You begin to think about that. You begin to talk about that. You begin to live for that. You begin to reach and press for that. And as you begin to do that, that's going to affect the atmosphere in your life. It's going to cause Christ to manifest. It's going to cause his glory to show up in your life. Because the glory is the manifestation of Christ. It's the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. He's an awesome God. So setting our mind on him, I'm looking for him. Thinking on him in every situation in life. Think on him. Think on him. And if you think on him, then you're going to have him manifesting more in your life. So let's look at some above settings here. Let's look at the simple setting. The simple setting. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And in verse 3, he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So notice your mind is to be on the simplicity that is in Christ. Simple. Keep it simple. We looked at this scripture in the past, but we were emphasizing that the enemy seeks to corrupt our minds. Now we're looking at how God wants our minds set on simple. Simple. Life is simple. When it starts getting really complicated and really confusing, that means our mind is not in the right place. Because with God, it's always simple. It's always simple. You think about some of the predicaments that it looked like Jesus was in. And yet, with just a word, he would just speak a word or just a couple words. And next thing you know, he is completely out of that situation. Simple. Bible says a gentle word breaks a bone. With God, it doesn't take a whole lot. And so God is in your life. He wants to work through your life. So we have to be looking for the simple way out. Don't look for some kind of complex, difficult way to get through your situation. Don't ever look at a situation and say, boy, this is just too much. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. God's got a simple answer. But if you're over here with your mind being corrupted by getting away from the simplicity that's in Christ, then you won't recognize God's answer when he gives it to you. So we have to keep our minds set on simple things. Keep it on the simple setting. Then over in Romans, we already covered this, but keep it on the spirit setting. Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You got to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Then there's the suffering setting, which is how we started out this series from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What's going to keep us from sinning? Having a mind to suffer. So you got to program the suffering setting. Remember, we talked about you don't want to get up in the morning and have your mind set on the no problem setting. You got to have your mind on the suffering setting. You got to have a mind that's ready to suffer, ready for trials and tests. Even when things look good. Man, everything's going great. I feel great. The sun is shining. Man, I got the day off. Wow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, good. Thank you, Jesus. Put it on the suffering setting so that when suffering comes, when trials and tests come, they don't catch you by surprise. You are set and ready for it. You are already in your fighting stance. You are all ready to fight the thing off before it ever showed up. You got to have your suffering setting. And then the unity setting. The unity setting. We talked about being like-minded. The scriptures talk about being like-minded, of one mind, having the same mind. So we want to get into unity with others. So we're going to watch how we talk. We're not going to speak divisive things. We're not going to think a bunch of negative things about people. We're going to be of one mind. We're going to seek to identify with people, connect with people with where they are, relate with them, help them where they're at, not criticize them, not put them down. Get on the same page. That's important. When you go out into your day, have your mind programmed on the unity setting. We're going to be of one mind. Then over in Philippians chapter 3, let's go there. I believe as I'm ministering the word, the Holy Spirit is reprogramming. He's doing things. He's doing things. He's firing things up in the thermostat of your mind. Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Notice what he says here. Have this mind. Well, what mind is he talking about? He's talking about having a mind that says, "I haven't attained perfection. I am not perfect yet." Everybody say it. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet. So if you're not perfect yet, then how you treat people is going to be very merciful. Because you're still a work in progress too, aren't you? Yeah. So we're all a work in progress. You know, like the Word of God tells us, it says that we are to consider others also, lest we are tempted. We are to consider of others, lest we also are tempted. We understand we're a work in progress. We haven't reached perfection yet, so we're not going to be judgmental. We're not going to be critical. And we also recognize we got to do some growing up. Even though we might be mature, he says, as many as who are mature should have this mind. Mature doesn't mean you've arrived, right? We're still growing. No matter how mature you are, you're still growing. There's a lot of people, they get to a place of spiritual maturity, and then they feel like, "I know that. I got this. Yeah, I've heard that before. And they feel like, really, like they've arrived. They won't say that they arrived, but they're acting like they arrived. See, their minds aren't set right. This was a mindset. He's telling us to have this mind. Have a mind that says, "I have not already attained, nor am I already perfected." And then also he gives us another mindset here. A press on mind. A press it on mind. He said, "But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." We got to press it on mind. No matter what goes on in life, we're going to keep on pressing on. Keep on pressing on. We're not going to grow weary in well-doing. We're going to keep on pressing on. No matter how much we get pressed, no matter how much pressure there is, no matter how many problems, we're going to keep on pressing on. That's what we're going to keep on doing. And that's a mindset. I got to keep on pressing on mine. Why don't you say that? Say, I have a keep on, press it on mind. That's a mindset. You got to set that. You got to set that so that you have that when you need that. You're ready to go. And then he says, forgetting those things which are behind. This is, again, this is all part of the mind that we're to have. We're to have a forgetful mind. A mind that forgets what's behind. We got to forget what's behind. The negative things that have happened in life, wherever we've missed it in life, you got to be able to put that behind you and move forward. Yeah, but this happened. But behind you, move forward. You got to have that mindset. You got to have a mind that's quick to just flush it, trash it, dispose of it. Somebody's just going to pull on you and just dispose of it. Right? Some folks can't let go of stuff. They can't stop thinking about it. That's not a forgetful mind. They won't let it go. Forget about it and move on. And then he talks about reaching forward to what's ahead. That's a mindset. Say, I'm reaching forward to what's ahead. Yeah, so we're not hanging out dwelling in the past. We're not just sitting here in the here and now. We're reaching forward to what's ahead. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody say, my best days right out in front of me. See, we're going somewhere to happen. We're not just sitting here waiting around going, whatever happens, happens. No, we're making things happen. I said, we're making things happen. We're reaching. It's a mindset. I'm reaching forward to what's ahead. And he says, pressing towards the goal, the prize of the upward call that's in Christ Jesus. We are pressing towards the goal. Man, we're not just happy with a victory here and a victory here. We're not going to be satisfied until we cross the finish line and the ribbon snaps, right? And we've reached the goal. We've reached the goal, which is what? Awakening in his likeness is what the psalmist said. He said, I will not be satisfied until I awake in your likeness. That's the goal that we're reaching for. That's the prize. Hallelujah. We're reaching for the prize that Christ Jesus has laid hold of us for. He wants us to have it. He's laid hold of us. Now, bless God, let's lay hold of what he's laid hold of us for. To be like him. To get a hold of that prize. So somebody say, I'm pressing. I'm reaching. I'm forgetting. And I'm not perfected yet. Amen. These are the mindsets that you and I are to have. Go over to chapter 2 of Philippians. And it says in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Wow. Not even just think good about folks, but actually esteem them as better than yourself. Esteem and look up to other people. So this is the lowliness setting. You all got the lowliness setting in there? You got to put it on the lowliness setting where we're not esteeming ourselves above everybody else as better than everybody else, but we're esteeming others better than ourselves. Why don't we just set that one in the morning? You know, just like some people got their percolator settings, you know. They set that up the night before. They put their water in there and their coffee filter, and they go to bed, and then it's set for whatever time they're going to be getting up. They figure that out, and then all of a sudden, without any human hand, while you're still sleeping, bloop, 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 the coffee machine begins to make the coffee, right? And you just walk out there, and you go ahead, and you grab yourself a cup, and it's ready to go, hot and fresh. Because you said it the night before. Why don't we just go ahead and set some things before we go to sleep and set some things in the morning? And again, big way to programming your mind is by speaking to it. Speak to your mind. Speak to your thought life. Declare what you want. Declare what time you want to get up in the morning. If you set your mind on what time you want to get up in the morning, you'll get up at that time. You won't even need to set your alarm clock. You have a built-in one in your mind. Just set it. I'm going to get up this time. Of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit and angels, some angelic hosts with crowbars, we'll get you out of the bed. Praise the Lord. You will get up. You will wake up. If you can set your coffee maker, you can set your mind on lowliness. Set your mind on lowliness. And then you go through your day. And then, boy, you wouldn't miss praying if your mind is set on lowliness. You know, the only reason why you'd run out of the house without God, without taking any time with Him, is because it's set on pride. It's on the wrong setting. It's on high-mindedness. I could do it without Him. But you set it on lowliness, and you'll find yourself on your knees quite a bit. See, that's what the setting does. You put it on lowliness, and then somehow your knees bend. It's the strangest thing. You put the lowliness setting in there. Next thing you know, you find yourself on your knees. You find yourself worshiping God. You find yourself clinging to the Almighty for everything because you've got it set on lowliness. So if you see yourself not doing that, well, just fix the setting. Just recognize, oh, I got this thing on high-mindedness. And you go in there, and it's like 90 degrees, and there's smoke, and it's nasty. You start resetting that. Can you say amen? All right, let's look at the right setting. The right setting. Jesus said over in Luke, the 8th chapter, says, then they went out to see what had happened. Now, this Jesus had just cast the devil out of a man. The man had a legion of demons. Jesus cast the demons out of the man. And then it says in Luke 8:35, it says, and they went out to see, the people from that country went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demon had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus clothed in his right mind. See, he had a wrong mind. He had a demonized mind. Now he's got a right mind. What caused him to have a right mind? He had his mind set on Jesus. So a mindset on Jesus causes you to have a right mind. He was sitting there at Jesus' feet, and he was in his right mind. You know, if you don't spend time at Jesus' feet, you're not going to have a right mind. You're going to find your mind going wrong a lot. So, you know, I can always tell if people's minds are going wrong, you know, I don't have to have a big counseling session. I don't have to sit there and go, well, what happened to you when you were a child? Well, what did they do to you? We have to talk about what everybody's done to you and what's gone on in your life and all these different things. We just have to come back to, where's your mind been lately? Of course, you don't have to tell me. Your actions tell me. The oppression, the depression, the anxiety, the fear. All these things tell us where your mind is. See, a lot of times folks are really fast to blame things on the devil. But really, it's our yielding our mind to the devil that allows the devil to have place in our life. But if we'll just learn to set our mind on the right settings, the devil, he can't do anything. He doesn't have to know the code. We have an alarm system at our house. And so, you know, we just push the buttons and we set the alarm. And when we come home, we press the buttons and we deactivate the alarm. And so it's the same thing with the settings of your mind. You can just set it up, and the devil doesn't know the password. He doesn't know how to speak the name of Jesus. That name scares him. So he will never punch in Jesus. He'll never punch in Jesus. He'll never say it. And so he can't deactivate the alarm. So when he tries to break in, woo, 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 the alarm goes off, and the demons run. Isn't that good? Praise God. You got to set that alarm. Set that alarm. Set it on Jesus, and you'll have a right mind. Then over in Acts chapter 17. Again, we're talking about mindsets. It says in Acts 17, verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, they were just heavily persecuted where they were at. I mean, their lives were threatened. So the brethren said, man, we got to get you out of here. So they sent them away. to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Notice that these folks here, Berea, they were more fair-minded than the folks from where Paul was fleeing from. And what does that mean? Fair-minded. If you look it up, it means noble. Noble-minded. Gracious. Respectful. They had a respectful mind. They didn't just have a knee-jerk reaction to what Paul was doing. He was saying things that they'd never heard before and breaking their traditions, and so they just acted very disrespectfully. No, these folks, they thought about what they respected him. They respected the words he was speaking. They never heard anything like it before. It was completely new to them. They didn't understand it, but they respected him enough that they went and began to search the scriptures to see if these things were true. Imagine if everybody did that. Man, that'd put an end to all this false doctrine. It'd put an end to all these different denominations. If people were fair-minded, more noble-minded, more gracious, more respectful, that they would sit down and search it out and see if they can prove that person wrong. See if they can prove themselves right. If they can prove that what they believe is right and what everybody else believes is wrong. That's where a lot of people are. That's what they do when they search the scriptures. But these folks search the scriptures to see, are these things true? Have we been wrong all these years? Can you imagine that? A lot of folks never want to admit to their own wrong, that they've missed it. They might have been in error. They might have been teaching wrong for all these years. We couldn't possibly admit to that. Well, if you were fair-minded, you could. If you had a respectful mind, you could. So we need to put it on the respect setting. And then notice he says, verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Notice the search of the scriptures daily is a setting. It was a mindset. It was a part of having that respectful mind, that respect for the word. Search the scriptures daily. Somebody say, I got to search the scriptures daily setting. That's it. It's just set. This is what we do.
Well, if I had time. No, you see, you haven't preset. You got your coffee maker, you have time. Right?
We have time for a bunch of things. We put all the pads, you know, the punch pads, and we put all our codes in and everything. Well, how about setting this one right here? I have a search the scriptures mindset. That's just what I do. It's a mindset. I search the scriptures daily.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the mind of Christ setting. Somebody say, I have the mind of Christ setting. There's times where I and myself in my own mind don't know the answer to things. But then I begin to tap in to the mind of Christ, because we have it. We have, didn't he just say we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ, so by faith we just tap into that. We tap into that mind, and then answers begin to come. Answers begin to come. Revelation begins to come. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. Everybody say a sound mind. We got to have the sound mind setting. We see that again also in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a... Somebody say, I have a sound mind. See, you already have it. It's already there. You just got to set your mind on it. Recognize, I have a sound mind. Say it again, I have a sound mind.
I think I'm going crazy.
No, don't say that. say, no, I think I have a sound mind. No, in fact, I know I have a sound mind. Amen. I feel so confused. I have a sound mind. See, we got to catch ourselves because that's how the devil gets us to put the wrong settings in. People walk around and say, I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. I can't. I'm so stupid. I'm just so this. The devil's pushing your buttons. He's setting your mind. No, I have a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. Glory be to God. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. He says, for if there is first a willing mind. See all these mindsets the Word of God gives us? He says, set your mind on things above. And then he gives us all these different settings, above settings. These are all above settings. That's what these are. So he's telling us right here, he says, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. Here, in its context, he's talking about giving. Giving. So we need to have a mind that is willing to give. Willing to give. If the Lord speaks something to us about concerning giving, we yield. We're willing to do it. We're willing to do it. I mean, I believe in saving money. I believe in putting money aside. I believe being, you know, prudent when it comes to spending. But yet at the same time, you got to be willing to just give it away, to let it go, to do whatever the Lord tells you to do with it. Here, he talks about a willing mind. It's kind of talking about a willing mind to give. And then, of course, he goes on in verse 19, talking about the same thing. He says, not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, this financial gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind. A ready mind. So we're willing and we're ready. Ready and willing. It's the kind of mind you got to say, I got a ready and willing mind. Well, not right now. You see, I right now we can't do it. I mean, I can't do it. I you're not ready. I mean, we just can't do it right now. You're not ready. But what kind of mind should you have? Have a ready mind. See, that's a mindset. It's not the conditions of what's going on around you. It's the condition of your thought life. We need to have a ready, willing mind. When should our minds be ready? All the time. All the time. Ready and willing. Ready and willing. Ready and willing to yield and obey and do whatever the Lord says. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded. Sober-minded. Of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. So you got to have the sober setting. Don't be drunk with the cares of life. Don't be all drunk and full of the things of this world. Have a sober mind, sober-minded. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Bringing the word of God back into our remembrance is to stir up what? Your pure minds. What does it mean to have a pure mind? It means an unpolluted, unadulterated, clean mind. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to set my mind on clean things. How many people know it's a dirty world out there? It's a very dirty world out there. It's very polluted. And you know, we live in a world where so many people, probably most people, have polluted minds. Their minds are absolutely polluted. But we can have pure minds. Right? But you got to set your mind. Because there's a lot of things that are going to try to pollute your mind. The devil wants to corrupt your mind. He wants to pollute your mind. He wants to fill your mind with a lot of dirt. And so you just think dirt. Whenever you think of this or think of that, a dirty thought comes. A polluted thought comes. God wants to clean your mind. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to run your mind through the filter of his word, which is what he's doing tonight, and filter out all the impurities, all those contaminants. get that all filtered out, man, and have a clean mind. Ah, it feels so good to have your mind clean. How many people feel better after they brush their teeth? How many people go to the bed, how many people go to bed at night without brushing their teeth? Thank God. You don't want to go to bed without brushing your teeth. This is basic. But I feel led to share it tonight. Make sure you floss. Brush your teeth and floss. Don't go to bed with a dirty mouth. Are you listening to me? Then you wake up with real dirty mouth. You let dirty things sit in your mouth all night. Man, oh man, makes your dentist mad. Get in there, brush and floss. All right? Well, it's important to do that with your mouth. How much more your mind? Brush your mind. Some of you just think brushing is good enough. It's not. You need to floss. You need to take out the floss of the word. See, we have it right in our Bible. Bibles come with floss. And you just, see? You thought it was just to hold your page, but you got to floss. You got to floss your mind. I said you got to floss it. You got to get in there. Stuff gets stuck up in there. You hear me? Just a light little brushing. My gosh, just smile. My hand. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you for the word. No. Go back to where the floss is. Look at it again. And get in there and dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. Get that stuff out of there. Nehemiah chapter 4. The Jews were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. It was a huge job. And all the neighboring nations were persecuting them, threatening them, doing everything to try to derail them and keep them from their purpose. And there were times where the people began to grow weary and it looked like the work wasn't going to get completed. But then the Bible says, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. That's why he said he got none. The reason why the wall got built is because the people had a mind to work. They weren't minding all the negativity that was coming out. I mean, you read the chapter, read the book. I mean, tremendous pressure and negativity coming at them to discourage them, to get them into fear, to get them to back off. But instead of paying attention to all these things that were coming at them, they set their minds on working, getting this job done. And they got the wall built, and it went up super quick. I mean, it was like everybody was shocked at how quickly the work prospered. And it was because they had a mind to work. Now, see, that's where a lot of people miss it in life. They go out to their jobs, they go out to work, and they have a mind to say, man, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to work. You've just made your day so much harder. You've made it more difficult, and you won't be as efficient as you could have been. Simply because you don't have a mind to work. You have a mind to be slack. You have a mind to relax. You have a mind to be lazy. You have a mind to go on a vacation. You're not going to complete very much. You're not going to be a very good worker, not a very good employee. You got to have a mind to work. And it's amazing if you get up in the morning and say, let's do this. I have a mind to suffer. I have a mind to work. I have a mind to get things done. I have a mind to press. I have a mind to reach. I have a mind to prosper. I have a mind to give. I have a mind to help. I mean, if we got our mind in the right place, man, it's going to be amazing. Days are going to fly by. We're going to be like, man, where's the time going? Because time flies when you're having fun. When your mind's in the right place, life isn't dragging along and just like, man, when's it going to be over? Have a mind to work. Have a mind to labor. Have a mind to get things done. Can you say amen? Now, a mind to work is not the same as being driven to work. A mind to work is not the same as being driven to work. A lot of folks are driven to work. They have to work. It's forced labor. And that's why the Bible says over in Proverbs 16, verse 26, it says, a person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him. He has to do it. He's being driven for money. The Bible says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. You're lazy, you're slothful, then everything's, you're being forced, or you're being driven by need, being driven by, you have to go to work. I have to. No, we get to. I get to get up. I have to get up. I get to get up. A lot of you would get out of bed a whole lot easier if you just started saying, I get to get up, instead of saying, I have to get up. Because when you say, I have to, you've put yourself under the law. And when you put yourself under the law, the flesh always rebels against the law. The flesh will fight you. So if you say, I have to get up, the flesh immediately goes, no! I have to. Then you don't want to. But if you say, I get to. I want to. Let's do this. It just reprograms everything. It reprograms everything. And next thing you know, getting up's not so hard. Working's not so hard. Now you're having a good time because your mind's in the right place. Somebody say, I get to work. Thank you, Jesus. We ought to be excited about working, not just making money. Not just making money. Enjoy working. We're not just working for the weekend. We're not working for the paycheck. We're working because we work. We like to work. So we labor because we like to do it. I like what Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 20 says. It says, for he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. God keeps him busy. Everybody say busy. With what? Joy of his heart. Praise God forever. His joy on the job. Can there be joy on the job? Yes, praise God. That's how it's supposed to be for Christians. It's supposed to be joy on the job. Joy on the job. The devil will eat your lunch if you're lazy. Don't let the devil eat your lunch. Have joy on the job. Get up. Get excited about working. Can you say amen? Praise God. Say, I'm setting my mind on the right things. On the right things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You want me to do a quick review? Thank you, I thought you would. The above setting, the simple setting, the spirit setting, the suffering setting, the unity setting, have this mind setting, which is a I haven't yet attained setting, I press on setting, a forgetting setting, a reaching forward to what's ahead setting, a pressing towards the goal and the prize of fulfilling the call of God setting. A lowliness setting, a right setting, which is the Jesus setting, a respect setting, the mind of the Lord setting, the sound mind setting, the willingness to give setting, the ready to give setting, the sober setting, the pure mind setting, and the setting your mind on working. Say these things. Declare these things over your life. This is who you are, and this is how you're going to be. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.